willkommen, liebe Zuhörerinnen und Zuhörer. Sie haben jetzt im Folgenden die Gelegenheit, fast wie live dabei zu sein auf dem TCM-Kongress Rothenburg 2025. Wir haben vor Ort ein kleines Interviewformat, das nennen wir At the DAO Café. Dazu laden wir SpeakerInnen ein und fragen sie ein wenig zu ihrem DAO, zu ihrem Weg, wie sie zu bestimmten Dingen gekommen sind, wie sie in ihre Themen gekommen sind, genau, die sie selber sehr interessieren oder die sie eben auch hier unterrichten. Heute zu Gast bei uns ist Steve Zhu aus China. Steve hat dieses Jahr auf dem Kongress einen Kurs namens Up-Down Pulse Diagnosis, wo es rund um das Thema Puls geht, was ja oft als ein sehr komplexes Thema wahrgenommen wird. Dazu befragen wir heute Steve und genau, es gibt auch die Gelegenheit, Fragen zu stellen. Der ganze Talk, das ganze Interview ist aber leider nur in englischer Sprache verfügbar. Das heißt, jetzt nach dem Intro wird es auf Englisch weitergehen. Die Zuschauerfragen haben wir dann überspielt, beziehungsweise die werde ich zusammenfassen, sodass die Stimmen unserer Zuschauerinnen und Zuschauer geschützt sind. Ich wünsche Ihnen jetzt viel Spaß mit At the DAO Café. Mein Name ist Lucia Day und zu Gast heute bei uns ist Steve Zhu. Yeah, it's really nice to have Steve Zhu with us this year. And we will get a little bit to your person and introduction in a minute. And Steve will be teaching a class tomorrow on the up-down pulse diagnosis. And Steve is from Chengdu, right? You're from...
Yes.
Yeah. So we will have a little bit of a chat about pulse and discuss a bit the method. Mm-hmm. And also, you will have the opportunity to ask some questions if you like. Steve, maybe tell us a bit about yourself. Since when you've been doing TCM, and it's called At the DAO Café, so maybe elaborate a bit on your way, and also on your way to the pulse.
Okay, like maybe in Armenia, you know me as I was translating when I was learning in the Chinese Medicine University in Chengdu. I spent 11 years there to have to fulfill my course, and also I meet lots of you during this 11 years. After my PhD, I went to actually Lesan. That's my hometown where I'm living and practicing now. It's where the Buddha is. Maybe you heard of it, Lesan Jain Buddha. So after graduation, I worked 3 years in the Western Medicine Hospital.
Oh, okay.
And I was the director of Chinese Medicine Department. Because everyone, we have like 400 doctors in the hospital. But most of them Western Medicine, and we have only 15 Chinese Medicine doctors. And we have to, in China we say it's a kind of like collaboration with the Western Medicine. Because they are divided into different departments, like gynecology or neurology or whatever. If they have problems treating the patients with Western medicine, they would ask us for... in China, we say it's huizhen. It's kind of I don't know how to say in English. Okay, fine. Anyway. Yes, like...
Integrative.
Yeah, like integrative. Yes, so in that way I would see I saw lots of patients of every single department with some, because you could say symptoms or just a disease which is difficult to treat only by Western medicine. So for instance, if I have patients, there was a patient, she wanted to suicide. Okay, she was like 58 year old like that. She wants to suicide, and she drank lots of gasoline. Lots of gasoline. The fuel. The gasoline, yeah. She drank lots of gasoline for suicide. But she was rescued, of course. And after that, after being like rescued, she had some lung infection. Mm-hmm. Maybe from the suicide, the behavior. But they treated the infection of the lung successfully. But she had some like always problem remained. And after treatment of this patient, I think the result is very good. Because in China, it's like, with the medicine, Western medicine say, the doctors say, okay, you have everything at normal, under control, because the infection is controlled, you are rescued from the suicide behavior, so you should go home. But the patients say, I still have this symptom. I feel really bad about this. How can I go home? I want to stay at the hospital. So this comes a lot of problems with the like insurance, with the requirements of how long you stay in the hospital. Mm-hmm. This is a very strict regulations in China. Mm-hmm. You cannot stay there for so long because you have to move the bed for someone else. So Chinese medicine is helping very much in my hospital where I practiced, Western Medicine Hospital. Even maybe it's been a little bit long. It's okay. Yeah. Even in the ICU units, we use Chinese medicine because like some patients, they have pancreatitis.
Mm-hmm.
The severe acute pancreatitis, it's very bad. They were like they have a distension in the belly. They have the inflammation. They cannot eat, cannot drink. But the problem is they cannot. They have no bowel movement, no defecation. Actually, if they have defecation, the situation would be much more improved. But for Western medicine, they have almost nothing to do with the defecation or the bowel movement or the distension.
Mm.
So we use Chinese medicine. We can use like herbal medicine for the intestine use. How do you say like to put that from the anus to the large intestine? It works also with acupuncture. It's very good to do that in the combination of both. Also for some patients with acute stroke, they are like fainted out when they have the hemorrhage in the brain, which is very bad. And we also use acupuncture at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what about my work.
Mm-hmm.
Also, sometimes it's not so urgent or so bad, but just like PCOS, it's not a very urgent disease, but it affects the reproductive problems,
mm-hmm.
the menses problem, and also like the they have IR, the insulin resistance. So Western medicine used to treat them with like hormones or like metformin, like these things, but no other. But with Chinese medicine, we can do a lot of things to improve the situation, let them have ovulation, have the pregnancy and deliver kid. Yeah. So that's what I do.
So you have a very strong clinical background in that sense,
yes.
Like with lots of, you know, working in the hospitals.
Yeah.
So how did it occur to you that you focus learning the specific technique of the pulse? Like was there a moment in your clinical experience where you felt that maybe the diagnostic technique of the pulse had to be studied more?
To be honest, I'm lucky. I learned the technique I want to introduce here before I feel I need to learn.
Ah, okay.
You know what I mean? At the very beginning of my practice, I met my teacher, Dr. Fu. Maybe tomorrow in the lecture, I will introduce him. He taught me about this postdiagnosis, which he is using. This is because at the beginning of the practice, I didn't feel how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? But at that moment, I started to use that technique all the way along,
mm-hmm.
for almost 10 years now. Gradually, I feel post-diagnosis is very important for some patients, like I said, in ICU,
mm-hmm.
because they are tranquilized. They cannot speak. They cannot even open their mouth to show you the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So only thing you can do there is to read the medical records, and you take the pulse.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, maybe you can take the wrist and also the ankle joint or the neck. Maybe you can take more pulse. But pulse is almost the only thing you can do for one patient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even then, sometimes it's contradicting, right? What patients say and
pulse
can be quite contradicting.
Yeah. So the technique I learned at the beginning, I'm using that for so many years. It's kind of... I'll say, like I mentioned, it's objective. Everyone can learn from the change of the pulse, which makes it easier to understand the three positions of the pulse.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, and I think it's quite an important topic for anyone learning the pulse, is how do you build the skill of objectivity?
Yes.
Because it is so subjective. And then
going back,
I was wondering, is there such a thing as an objective pulse? Yeah. And there must be, right? Because we have these techniques. But then how do our personal observations, how does our personal intuition play into that?
Yeah.
And I was wondering about how, like for you,
mm-hmm.
how long does it take to get to the sense of objectivity?
Okay.
And how long does it take, or for you, maybe you can share a bit about how your intuition has space in that, or doesn't it?
Yes, at the beginning of my learning, like in the university, for like the general post-diagnosis we learned, there's a lot of intuition, like you said, because we learned the 28 pulse, we learned the
10 strange pulse,
as I mentioned.
Yeah.
But actually, we cannot meet all the pulses during our practice, because sometimes it's difficult to see some kind of pulses.
Mm-hmm.
Like for the common pulses, also we make mistakes. We would be mistaken, like wiry or slippery. How can you really define them? How can you really distinguish them? Even there's so much text, so much like recordings from ancient time and modern time, but it's very difficult to find someone really teach you hand in hand. They teach you, okay, this is a wiry pulse, this is a slippery pulse, and how we distinguish. There's a lot of intuition. Actually, like I said, we should make post-diagnosis as an objective thing.
Mm-hmm.
In that way, actually, we should bring down our intuition. Otherwise, it mislead you.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's one detail very interesting is also what Dr. Fu taught us. When you see a patient, when they come in, I don't know how you do that, but in China, we are, like many people rush into the clinic room. They say, "I have bad sleep. I have pain here and there." But with Dr. Fu's style, patient come. Come to the clinic, we will say, just sit down, please, do not talk, do not talk. We take pause at the beginning, at first. So in that way, to avoid the misleading of intuition or some information. Because if you see it's a very angry person or very like in hurry kind of person, you may think, okay, this is a person of liver type, liver stagnation, or right, or like a red face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you smell the smoke, you think, okay, maybe this patient is kind of heat dampness, and then you take pause.
And you have
intuition, yeah. which is misleading you.
That's a difference. I think what you're talking about is an assumption or projection, that a preconception that we project onto the patients when we see them and hear them talk.
Okay, yeah.
But intuition is more a sense that relies on a gut feeling, on, for example, you know, you have a feeling about someone, even if they might not have stated such. So I think there's a bit of a difference there.
Yes, but for the intuition, I think it's also for the pulse, I don't feel much.
Yeah.
Because but for the person or for the treatment, I have some, of course, I have some.
But then the pulse, you try to make yourself as empty as possible.
Yes. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Maybe we can demonstrate a little. Then you can.
Yeah. Maybe I go on the side. Maybe it's important to say that the main purpose is to detect deficiency and excess of blood and qi.
Yes.
Right. So.
Yes. Or to say at every single position. Okay. Thank you very much. Like we take the pulse, like we locate the middle, right? This is the usual. I should use this hand, but it's okay for the demonstration. Can you see? The technique is on the basis of 28 pulse or whatever you learned. We would like detect every single location. Let's start with the trunk position, right? Like this is the normal technique we use at the beginning. You can feel if it's a sting or if it's floating or deep. And afterwards, we would press the nearby position. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The nearby position. So, but my attention is not on the nearby position.
Mm-hmm.
Like here, I want to know the situation of the trunk position. So at the beginning, I feel it. Now I feel it. Yeah. I press, now I press the
next position
is a ground position. But my attention is not on the ground position.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the change on my index finger.
Mm-hmm.
What happened on the chin position? If,
mm-hmm.
Simply to say, I'm feeling if it's getting stronger or weaker. So this is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
If it's getting stronger, it's to say it's normal or there's some external evils. If it's getting weaker or almost vanishing, it means deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you follow?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and now we go to the ground position, right? We first need to feel the ground position, and I press the chin position, and I feel what's the change of the ground position. Like I feel it's getting stronger here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's what I say, up.
Mm-hmm.
If it's getting weaker, we say it's down. It's the same with the chi position.
Mm-hmm.
If it's, there's a change, it means if it's getting the beating, if it's getting stronger or more superficial or more going deep,
mm-hmm.
or it's getting weaker or even vanishing, this is a change what I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because Dr. Fu also mentioned the idea about this technique is the pulse actually is it's a tube, right? It's a tube, an artery. And the blood flows, is kind of fluid floating inside. The energy is from heart, of course. It goes like downwards, or you see to the fingers, right? It's like the chi is pushing the blood in the vessel, in the tube. If you give a pressure in the nearby position, if there's enough strength, enough energy, it would break the blockage. So the fluid floating would be stronger or faster. That's what you can feel in the pulse change.
Mm-hmm.
If it's weak, it's cut off. So it would be weaker or even vanishing.
Mm-hmm.
So in this way to judge every single location, every single organ, if it's getting stronger, it means it's excessive or normal. Mm-hmm. Or normal. If it's getting weak, if it's getting down, it means weakness. So in this way, it's very objective. It happens.
It's quite comparative. Right?
Yeah, it's not about. It's not like Dr. Fu said. It's not about medicine. It's about physics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the technique. It took me maybe half to 1 year
mm-hmm.
to really have the feeling of it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I studied with this teacher, Dr. Fu, Professor Fu, for 2 years. And during that time, he was also correcting some feelings
mm-hmm.
With us.
And so I think we briefly mentioned this yesterday also, but I want to ask again, perhaps, because in some schools of the Japanese pulse taking,
mm-hmm.
they also simplified the pulse, right? So you don't have the 28 and the 10 plus the 10 strange pulses, so you're looking more for fuller and later, like excess and deficiency.
Yes, yes.
And that. But this is different because you're actively comparing two positions with the attention on one,
yeah.
Which is, I'm not aware that any Japanese school adopts this. But it is also, in a way, a simplified manner. So do you still look out for a specific quality, like a slippery pulse?
Yes, of course.
A
this is also what I'm saying tomorrow. It's like, you know, like as in Chinese culture, you cannot always say, I want to replace someone, or like, I want to be the new one. We're always doing the middle way. Like we combine. This is also
the old and the new.
Yeah, the old and the new.
Yeah.
This is very important to me. It is because at the beginning of my practice, even now, if I feel this is only feel this is a wiry pulse, I don't know if it's really a deficiency or excessive, because it happens on very different occasions. Like for the old people. What I'm about to say tomorrow. For the older people, they have, I don't know the term, but the artery is getting harder, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting intensive. So it's always like a wiry pulse, type pulse. But it doesn't mean they really have excessive things. So for us, it's very important to avoid, like, tonify the excessive or reduce the deficiency. This is what is said in Nei Jing, in Huang Di Nei Jing. This is the mistake of treatment principles.
Mm.
By doing this, we can at least prevent, we can avoid making such mistakes.
Yeah, so you can be more sure about whether it's actually deficiency or if it's actually excess.
Or some occasions, like they have a deficiency, excessive on the branches, the biao, and the deficiency of the root.
Mm-hmm.
This happens very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the technique.
Yeah, thank you for demonstrating that. I think that was quite helpful to see, because it's a bit hard to imagine how do you do it.
Yeah.
Right.
And like I mentioned, we talked about this yesterday. Not only Japanese, also there's very much styles or schools of post technique in China also. Even we actually say every different doctor have different views and understandings. Most of them want to simplify it or to, to conclude their own style or skills. But it doesn't matter if it's Chinese or Japanese. Our purpose is to really find something from post-diagnosis. That's why we try to conclude these things and or to create these techniques.
I think the aspect that you mentioned about emptiness is very interesting, and from the clinical experience to work with patients who aren't able to articulate their symptoms. So would you recommend in general that it can be more helpful to take the pulse before they speak? Is this something you would recommend in practice?
This is what we do, or we always do. From all the years.
And is it because also, do you feel like even talking about symptoms can affect the pulse in ways that would kind
of... Yes, I think maybe.
Distort the...
Because what I do is, like, if the patients come to me, they're sitting there 1 or 2 or 3 minutes, whatever, we take the pulse without speaking anything.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, they start to talk.
Mm-hmm.
This is also what Professor Fu told us. It's from Shanghai Nun, that if you take pause, you have to at least take 50 times. Do you know that?
No.
it was recorded in Shanghai Nun. If you're taking a pause less than 50 times, 50 beats, I shouldn't say, 50 beats.
Oh, 50 beats.
50 beats, sorry, 50 beats. You must be like beyond 50 beats.
Mm-hmm.
Because it always changes. If you only take like 10 beats, you say, okay, it's slippery, it's an up pulse. No, it may be getting weaker.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting to the down pulse after 10 or 20 beats. Yeah.
So you need to tune in, let's say, for
you have to like concentrate and just do that thing without speaking, without thinking, like you said, make yourself empty. Also, like to calm the patient, make the patient empty. This is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because in China, we have like, if you've been there, like you saw that 10 or 20 patients waiting outside, everyone's in hurry. I want to be the next one, be the next one. When they're really coming, they're always in a rush.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to express a lot. But we have to slow it down, to take the pause and to talk.
So the audience has the opportunity now to ask questions, and there is a question from one of the participants of the interview who is asking whether Steve, after taking the pulse, so the patient comes in, he takes the pulse at least 50 beats, and then there's the question whether after that he lets the person speak freely or whether he's already beginning to inquire after specific symptoms that he might have found that are related to the pulse that he felt.
After the post-diagnosis, I would let them say, of course I would ask them questions, like I'm the guidance of the conversation. Because it's like you saw in China, it's very different here. We treat, like I treat 60 to 80 patients per half day. So I spend maybe 4 to 5 minutes for one patient. And the post-diagnosis took me 1 minute. And so we have only like 4 to 5 minutes for the conversation. So you cannot let the patient say everything. Because some people, they are very, like...
Talkative.
Yeah. And anxiety. A lot of anxiety.
Anxious, yes.
They would talk from 1960s, what happened to them, to 1980s, 2000s, till now. So we have to also ask, to summarize, to ask what we want to know. Yeah.
So... In such a fast-paced, you know, just fast-paced environment of seeing 60 to 80, that's quite remarkable, I think. How do you know that it worked? Like, how can you ensure that your diagnosis is correct? Is there a way for you to follow up on this?
Of course, we have follow-up.
Yeah.
Because, the most cases I see is about like insomnia, the reproductive, infertility, the things. They you don't treat them only once.
Right.
Of course, they would like review. You would know what happened. To be honest, like if we only talk about the post-diagnosis here, I say it's like it happens if you press the next position. There's change. That's for sure. So only for the post-diagnosis, I don't have a feedback or review to know if this is correct. But comprehensively for the treatment of the patient, we have feedbacks if it's getting better or worse. I also have a little like calculations. I should say not every for every doctor you cannot treat you cannot cure everyone. But for me, like I think we can give improvements to maybe 50% to 60% of the patients. That's a quite good result. Of course, we want to improve more.
Yeah.
But this is one thing. Another thing is among these patients, we barely see like side effects or if it's getting worse. This is very important because. As my like my age, I only practiced like 10 years. I'm a young generation of Chinese medicine doctor in China. If you, Chinese people like the old generation, they like the white hair, like 80-year-old, 90-year-old doctor, they say they would believe them. They would trust them. But for the young generation, they say, you're so young. You're a Chinese medicine doctor. Are you kidding me? How can you practice Chinese medicine at the age of 25? That's what I do. For us, it's very important to firstly make sure it's not going wrong, it's not going worse. Then we talk about if we can improve it. So this is also what I like benefit from this technique.
Yeah, it's quite important to build that foundation through a solid technique.
To
ensure people are not getting worse.
This is very important. So this is what I'm... I feel lucky and I feel a little proud about this. Not much people getting worse.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's difficult for the younger Chinese generation who study Chinese medicine? It must be because we all struggle with learning pulse here. And do you observe the same thing in China?
Of course, very much. This is why I took this as my like technique to use. Because as you see, like when you come to China, you visit, you like study with different doctors. We also did that. Because like Professor Fu, I learned this technique from him. But I also learned from like acupuncture from other teachers, like herbal medicine from other teachers. We should like combine everything. We should put it together. But for post-diagnosis, before meeting Professor Fu, I had no idea. I had no idea. The teachers, they say, maybe, okay, this is a viral pulse, and you take that. But the patient would go after 30 seconds. So you feel nothing. After meeting Professor Fu, I say, okay, this is the post-diagnosed technique I want to learn, and I believe, I trust, and also like proved from the patient's feedbacks. Yeah. What's interesting is also some people in Germany learned this.
From Master Fu, you mean?
Yes, and from me.
Ah, from you.
Because I noticed these things 2015, and in 2017, I think, a small group from Germany, I had a lecture for them in Chengdu University about this. And 1 year or 2 years later, their colleagues, the next group, not from HTCM, I think from some other teachers from Germany, yeah. And 2 years later, another group of that school came and they talked to me. They've been using that for 1 or 2 years. It's good. Can you like teach again? So I told them again.
Mm.
And I think it's during the COVID, I had this kind of lecture on Zoom with some European friends. They're from like Austria, Russia, and like Slovakia, Czech Republic, these countries. So,
I mean, perhaps you'll say a bit more about that tomorrow as well, but I'm actually wondering, because you learned this from Master Fu or Professor Fu. Is this something that he developed new, or is it actually something that is old that he rediscovered?
This is interesting. To be honest, I don't know. He never mentioned if it's his own creation or he learned from the older generation. No, I don't know.
Because in a way, I think the idea that you compare the relationship between pulse by taking the next is very much in the spirit of Chinese medicine, right? Mm-hmm. Because we look at relationships between stuff all the time, between the organs and meridians. And so, to me, the idea appears that maybe Master Fu, it's an old teaching that he somehow rediscovered. But so it's very interesting that you say we don't know.
I don't know. It's very interesting. He never mentioned. Actually, that's something, how to say, this is also something not very good in, among Chinese people. Because in old days, there was no university in China. Even, it's about everything, about Chinese medicine, about the arts, opera, everything. Some people say, if you teach the apprentice, the master would lost the business.
Right.
So they would not willing to share. They only teach their own sons or daughters. In old days, only sons not daughters.
Mm.
So there were very much things lost in the history. So at the beginning, back 10 years earlier, Dr. Fu also said, you can learn this from me, but never write a paper about this.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Because
he was already retired at that time. He doesn't need a paper to promote. He doesn't need. He said, you can learn this, but no publication. But fortunately, I think now he changed his mind.
Mm-hmm.
We have a paper published about this technique last year, in Chinese, in Chinese. And I was informed also this paper would be published in the university. The university, they have their own magazine, the journal. They would maybe publish this one this year. So it means maybe he's been more open to share this. Because now he's 82. I think maybe he wants to share than 10 years ago. I also texted him about sharing this technique here, but he didn't reply. Because he's not very good about the cell phones, WeChat, these things. He's not very... Maybe he would reply when he read my message. I'm sure I have the permission. Because in 1917, the first time I teach the German students about this, I asked him, he said okay.
Mm.
He said okay. So this is never, it's no problem about this.
Yeah. So there's a question from one of the audience members about what the Chinese name is for the up-down pulse diagnosis.
It's called 来去.
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 Oh, it's actually
means coming or living.
Yeah. I like this name more because 来 means it comes and 去 means it goes. So it's more like a wave actually rather than up and down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because at the beginning, 2017, when I first time teach this, I also used the coming and leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking if it's is easier for up down to remember and to record, I think. So I changed a little bit about the translation.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not a problem, I think. Because in Naichu is coming and leaving, there are some sentences from Neijing or Shanghainun about the post coming
mm-hmm.
and leaving. They say like coming with the grand qi, stomach qi, living with evil qi. There are such sentences with this world in Chinese, I mean. But I don't think the meaning is totally match. Totally.
Yeah. It might even be also fitting to say the arriving of qi, right?
Yeah, arriving.
Because we talk about arriving of qi, so the pulse in a way also arriving is also lai.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But it's different.
Yeah,
it's different.
It's very...
It's arriving. This is about arriving or leaving.
Mm.
But the technique is about the change. Mm. If it's getting stronger or weaker, so I don't think it's totally different.
Yeah.
But in Chinese language, I think it makes sense.
It makes lots of
in
sense.
In English, I think maybe we should do a little, modification when we translate to make it more understandable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To emphasize the change, right?
Yeah, the change. If
the
it's
wave.
Getting up or down.
Yeah. Very interesting stuff. Thank you. Yeah. Do you have asking again if you have questions about this or if you would like to know something? Otherwise, we can look forward to the class tomorrow and actually get to maybe learning this and applying this for ourselves. Yeah. Will some of you be in the class tomorrow as well? Very nice.
Okay, very nice.
Good.
Right. Okay, so see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Thank you so much.
Goodbye.